Moore, and also joining us here on the Don Miller Show. We want to tell Keith. Keith, are you there? Okay, Keith is not there. But we are being joined by attorney Anita Earls. And I just want to say this, and I've never met attorney Earls, but I have followed her work. And I want to thank Keith so much for setting up this interview for us. Anita Earls is the executive director of the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. She was assistant U.S. Attorney General in the Civil Rights Division from 98 to 2000 under someone that, you know, everybody loves, Bill Clinton. But she is an esteemed attorney who understands this at a high level, fair districting and what it all means. And also, as far as I'm concerned, and I shoot from the hip, Ms. Earls, I don't know if you know that, she should be on the Supreme Court, but that's a whole other story and that's another show. Joining us here on the Don Miller Show, the esteemed attorney, Anita Earls. How are you? How you doing today?
I'm very well, and thank you so much for your kind introduction.
Now, you really should be on the Supreme Court. I wasn't just telling you that.
Thank you so much for joining us.
How you doing?
Good. I will just add, I have experience litigating in Florida. I was lead counsel in the NAACP versus Harris case following the 2000 election, and we were challenging some of the irregularities that disenfranchised minority voters after that election. So I have a little familiarity with Florida, even though my office is in North Carolina.
I'm very familiar with that case. You're talking about Catherine Harris.
We sued her.
Yes, you did. So tell us a little bit about, we're talking about fair districts, and there's a difference of opinion from both sides, of course, as it is on many issues. The NAACP in the state of Florida is supporting this. One of our local congresspeople and several other local elected officials stand down on this issue. There was a recent study done by Stanford University in conjunction with the University of Michigan that says that this will have a negative effect on minority representation, and it's not necessarily true that Democrats will gain control. Can you tell us a little bit about this? Because it's really confusing to our listeners, and we really want to, in some way, present them with the real truth as it relates to this.
Right. My organization produced a short analysis of the amendments because we were concerned about statements that were being made that suggested that they would increase the legal protections for minority districts, and we think that is not true. These amendments don't add anything to the current federal law that applies in Florida that protects minority voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. A state constitutional amendment can't override federal law, so we're not saying that it makes voting rights law worse. Although I do have more I can say about the impact I think it will have on minority districts in the state, but in terms of just speaking purely now from the legal perspective of what laws exist to protect minority voting rights, it doesn't hurt the Federal Voting Rights Act, but it also doesn't, in our view, add anything to the protections that already exist.
So to the NAACP in the state of Florida, who talks of their support because it adds something, you disagree with that?
Yes, we do.
Okay, but you do contend that minorities may and probably, quite frankly, be hurt as it relates to this.
Well, what we say is that there's certainly a lot of uncertainty about how these provisions might be interpreted by a Florida Supreme Court in litigation or by a federal court. And we have a couple of concerns. We don't agree with the reasons that the proponents give for the need for these measures.
Okay.
But apart from that, and the other thing I want to emphasize is that we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, and our only lens, our only perspective is how do we guarantee voting rights, you know, fair opportunity for everyone to participate in the political process. So the way I think that this these amendments will hurt minority voters is twofold. The first problem is that it by making compactness a state constitutional requirement. Mm-hmm. We know that that will advantage, it will give Republicans more seats than they're entitled to in redistricting because of residential patterns. And that was actually verified by a study that drew some 200 plans trying in the state of Florida trying to figure out if compactness has a partisan implication, mm-hmm. and it was clear that it does.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent that benefiting Republicans hurts minorities, that's an impact that you can't ignore.
Mm-hmm.
But we think there's a second problem, which is that it invites, it takes away one of the main defenses that we've had to Shaw challenges. You may remember these are the challenges to districts on the grounds that the shape of the district that means that race predominated in the drawing of the district and that it's a racial gerrymander.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the best defenses we have to a racial gerrymander claim is to show that partisanship played a key role in the process. And we all know that in every redistricting process, partisanship plays a key role, even in states
absolutely.
That have commissions. Yeah, right?
You know, So your organization, again, nonprofit, you have no standing in either way this goes, and you've concluded something I guess you just sold me on,
right.
on what the real issue is. So you don't endorse nor do you take a position outside of the research aspect of what you do, correct?
We have just put forward our analysis. That's right.
Okay. So your analysis is the analysis that Don Miller going to go by, and I'm going to tell the Don Miller listeners to go by this, okay? Because one thing I know, you won't put your reputation or your organization's reputation on the line. This is unfortunate.
Is there somewhere I was just going to ask, is there somewhere where our listeners could access this information, your study, your analysis that you just completed?
Yes, we have a website devoted entirely to redistricting called www.redistrictinginstitute.org. And this study, we just actually this week updated it because of some of the court decisions that changed our earlier analysis. So our updated analysis is posted on that website.
Okay, great.
Well, this is amazing to me. Because now I'm starting to get a better understanding. I got to tell you, you have probably, in the short time you've been on with us, brought me to the light on this issue. I was kind of torn, I got to say. But now I have a better understanding, as do many of our listeners. I'm getting emails and right now that saying people want to say thank you. Thank you so much. Let me ask you a question. So if these amendments are voted in, what kind of turnaround time are we looking at to see things go in a different direction?
You mean how soon will they take effect?
Yes.
Right.
Immediately.
Wow.
It'll impact the redistricting that will occur when the new census data is released in March or April of 2011.
Wow. So this is right out of the gate. People are going to start seeing the fallout from this.
Right.
Wow. Well, I have to ask you another question. Of course, I appreciate you joining us for this. You know, I looked at your group, and this is really a think tank, correct? Because you got some really heavy, heavy people in your organization.
Well, the Redistricting Institute is an effort throughout the South to work with community groups that want to be involved in redistricting. So we do research and analysis, but we're also involved in working with local community organizations and ultimately in litigation. We're involved in litigation as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you are the arm that can come down and defend people who find themselves being put in a situation where justice has not served them, correct?
In the redistricting context, certainly.
Yes, okay.
As well as try to give folks the tools they need to draw maps and be involved in redistricting.
Wow. Well, thank you so much,
very enlightening.
Attorney Earls. I want to tell you, you have enlightened us. We really appreciate it. Can you do me a favor real quick before you go? Can you tell me about briefly, if you may. You have an immigration rights division, correct?
We do. One aspect of our work is immigration work, yes.
Okay, and so is that working in Florida or across the country?
We work in collaboration with advocates around the country, but most of our cases right now involve people in North Carolina.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. We've been joined by attorney Anita Earls. Thank you so much. And I just want to say I really, really appreciate it, you joining us and taking the time out of your hectic schedule. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for covering this important topic.
And I really believe you should be on the Supreme Court.
Right.
Here's your first vote.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right. Thanks, Anita.
Attorney Anita Earls, who is the Executive Director of the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. She's also a professor at the University of North Carolina, a Yale law graduate,